The new U.S. attorney for the Central District of Illinois says he will continue to use federal laws to break up gangs. Gregory Harris is a career federal prosecutor just confirmed to head the district that covers 46 counties in half the state. In this interview with correspondent Edith Brady Lunny, Harris says he's concerned about growth in the rate of violent crime, much of which involves gun violence. A couple of years ago, federal prosecutors used racketeering statutes in Peoria to dismantle a gang called the Bomb Squad for a while. Harris says he will use that law again, as well as similar RICO tools.
But there's also a statute, more recent statute, called the Vicar statute. It's designed similar to the racketeering statute, but it's designed specifically to dismantle gangs and address violent crime. So we'll be using those statutes in combination, not only in places like Peoria, but in other primarily urban areas where we have a gang problem. In Peoria, the idea was to dismantle this particular gang, recognizing that other gangs were going to come in and supplant this gang, and that they're going to be looking at actually taking their competitors out of business as being a windfall for them. So we've always designed our strategy with the idea in mind that we were going to continue looking at these statutes to go after additional gangs.
Other programs have involved efforts to build trust between the youth and law enforcement in communities, Champaign, Sangamon County. And there was an effort started in Peoria with the state's attorney, Jody Hoos, before the pandemic to work on those issues. How is that effort going?
Well, I think the Department of Justice generally has taken the view that you're not going to be able to lock our way out of this violent crime issue. So we're looking at more reentry type programs. We're looking at mentoring programs. We're looking at programs that are designed to address anger management, as well as providing new opportunities for youth. We started, I think, with the idea that we're looking at people that are around the age group of 24 to 25, because most of the shootings and the gang activity involves individuals in that age category. But what we found quickly was that they're much younger people that are involved in these gang activities and the shootings. If it's just not only holding the gun of a shooter after the shooting occurs, because the idea is the gangs understand that if that individual gets caught, a juvenile, for example, gets caught with a firearm, the penalties are going to be less severe for them than if the shooter was involved, the 24, 25-year-old was caught with a gun. So younger people have been brought into this violent crime environment, and we're looking for programs that address those younger kids, whether it's in the schools or other places, churches, places of worship. Those are areas where we're looking to have a presence that is beyond just a law enforcement presence, bringing social services to the communities that hopefully will be preventative in nature and cut off the opportunity or the likelihood that young people are going to get involved in crime violence. I think we're having some success in that area, and I think that's what we're going to do more of. Federal grants also are an opportunity for private agencies, non-government organizations, to be involved in, you know, the services that they're already providing, but to enhance those services and provide some funding for those services. So I think this is the future. I think it's a good idea, and hopefully it'll bear fruit in the coming years.
We know there's a nexus between guns, gangs, and drugs when we talk about the high-level crime. Project Safe Neighborhood addresses those challenges. What do you see as the challenges in stemming these types of crimes, especially the ones where guns are involved?
It's a major problem. And what we've done is we've designed a Project Safe Neighborhood program that I think addresses the uniqueness of this huge geographical area that we represent. The problems are different somewhat depending on the area. For example, our Rock Island office may have a unique problem with guns traveling between Iowa and Illinois. That brings up issues involving communications between law enforcement agencies. Maybe Iowa's police department is using a different radio system than the police officers that are in Illinois, which may not be a problem in Springfield. In Peoria, for example, we have the filtering down of gangs and gang activity from Chicago. You would not have that necessarily in Urbana or Springfield. So we fashioned a Project Safe Neighborhood program that is designed for that particular area. And I think that's a very good approach and one that we hope to utilize in the future to deal with this violent gang problem. There's also other initiatives by the department that have created like strike forces, and we're assisting with Chicago's violent crime problem, their gun problem, which is just off the charts, with our initiatives to go after specific individuals. And that's what Project Safe Neighborhood is designed to do, target specific individuals who are creating the most of the crime in the particular area. What we found in research is that a small number of individuals are actually creating most of the violence and the crime in the community. And if you can find those individuals, target those individuals, hopefully convince them to put the guns down, you're going to succeed in reducing the crime level. If not, then incarceration, prosecution, targeting those individuals, utilizing statutes that are going to address recidivism, in other words, individuals that may have multiple convictions, those are the ones that we usually see in federal court. And those are the ones that we want to go after and take out of the community to reduce the level of violence.
And at the same time, you're trying to stop people from actually creating violence. You're also trying to track down the source of the guns that they're using. I mean, it's like a secondary but huge undertaking.
This is a new tactic for us. I started my law enforcement career in the U.S. Attorney's Office in the 1980s. At that time, gun casings, shell casings, I should say, and guns were sort of an afterthought. Once you charge somebody with a crime, then you would do the analysis of the guns to get fingerprints, DNA, and all that kind of stuff. The whole process now has changed, and guns now and shell casings are used to conduct the investigation to lead to other guns and other individuals, which is a very, very helpful, I think, process to another tool that we can use in tracking down the shooters, the users of the guns, connecting them to other crimes. Give you an example of a situation that is being touted for this device called a Niben machine, which actually examines shell casings and matches the shell casings. One of the first illustrations of the utility of this device, of this computer to me, was a situation where there was a retail store, and the retail store had surveillance cameras set up. Well, there was a incident where a car drove by and started shooting into the store, leaving shell casings there. The video cameras caught it. That incident was a low crime activity because it didn't involve bodily injuries. It was a property crime. So it was kind of low on the order of investigations for the police department. But then later, there was another shooting in a car, and the shell casings were matched to the shell casings from this particular retail incident. And from that, they got the video that led to the shooter of the individual in the car. Now, you can't use Niben alone. It requires some further investigation by law enforcement. But again, that's an example where shell casings that are found that are examined can be very useful in solving cases rather than after you have a person charged already and you're prosecuting them and then you're using that as additional evidence. So that's a sea change.
That's Greg Harris, the new U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois. He spoke with WGLT correspondent Edith Brady Lunny. Listen tomorrow on WGLT Sound Ideas for the second part of that interview covering human trafficking, as well as the fact Harris is the first African American to hold that position.